John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If we begin to analyze verse number 1, you will find a somewhat boisterous introduction. There were so many things that the Holy Spirit wanted to tell us, wanted to be in the scriptures, in the Logos. So many things. And I'm wondering how it was possible for the Holy Spirit to accommodate such a superfluous introduction of a personality. There was a man. He was of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus. He is a ruler among the Jews. That's too big. Because we can actually analyze Nicodemus as a man. We can analyze Nicodemus as a Pharisee. We can analyze Nicodemus as a ruler. We can analyze Nicodemus as a Jew. Introduction is superfluous. And why is it that the Holy Spirit was able to accommodate such a bogus introduction of a man? That's the first question. The second question is that when Jesus was addressing this man, from Jesus' perspective, there was only one way to analyze the man. Are you there? From the perspective of the world, from the eye view of society, from the perspective of our generation, his master's degree, his PhD, his area of specialty had to be captured because he spent about 12 years to obtain his PhD. So we just need to acknowledge this is doctor. He finished from Virginia. He was in Michigan at some time. He also And trust me, I respect the fact that you have a PhD and in a technical area that I cannot hope to get any form of certification. So I respect that. But from the eyes of Jesus, even though there were many ways that this guy could be described in the eyes of his generation, he was one of the icons of his time. He was a custodian of revelatory power. These are the guys in the land. But when Jesus showed up, there was only one way he could analyze this guy from just one perspective. And so when Jesus was addressing him, he says, except a man. From the perspective of Jesus, he sees all of us as men. Jesus did not acknowledge his PhD, did not acknowledge the fact that he was in Virginia. He did not acknowledge the fact that he had bagged the PhD. He was one of the icons of his time in custody of the powers of revelation. All of that did not matter to Jesus. What mattered to Jesus was that he was what? And unfortunately for Nicodemus, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in the eyes of Jesus, he was first a man before he became a Pharisee. He was first a man before he became a ruler. He was first a man before he became a Jew. He was first a man before he became Nicodemus. So if we do not analyze that denominator, man, and in the case of Nicodemus, what Jesus was saying was that you have a problem with the way you were born. You are not a proper man. So because you are not a proper man, we have a question. We can question your PhD, we can question your presence in the parliament, because you had to be a man in order for you to be in the parliament. Everything in the life of Nicodemus was going to be questioned if he's been a man. Was questioned. So Jesus is saying, except a man be born again. You are not a proper man if you are not born again. I know you have a PhD, but it doesn't count if you are not born again, because you are denied access to see the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. And as a man, you are actually a creature that was designed to function within the scope of the kingdom of God. You don't have access to the habitat that you were ordained to operate. You don't have access to the designation that you should sustain in carrying out your duties. You don't have access to the pool of authority that God is willing to bequeath to you in order for you to have the much needed capacity to do his will and to prosecute his mandate upon the face of the earth. There's something wrong except a man. We've tried to find other ways to upgrade you, but it's impossible. So except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I like Jesus. I need to stay with my time. Something is opening, that's why. Hallelujah. I like Jesus, and I've studied the teachings of Jesus again and again. I don't think I've done it enough. But I think I've attempted sufficiently well to be able to make a comment. Jesus, in his teaching ministry, doesn't like definitions. Right? Most often, he left most of the definitions to Apostle Paul. He doesn't like definitions. So one of those days when I was studying my Bible, I will prove it to you, don't worry, it's okay. One of those days when I was studying my Bible, I had to stop studying and I began to look for Jesus. Please, you need to come and explain why you choose this style. Why is it you would have just defined what it meant to be born again? And you put so many issues to rest. You know what he told me? The reason why I did not define things is because I am not willing to make spiritual things available to a natural man. I don't want them to be accessible at face value. I don't want them to be accessible through cerebral powers. You know, Jesus said something to Peter. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. It means that there are some disclosures that can come through the effort of flesh and blood. I don't want it to be at that level. So any time Jesus was supposed to give a definition, what he would rather do is to give an illustration of how that reality functions. And in the book of John, he does the self same thing. If you are still with me, say, amen. All right, let me show you something. Meanwhile, are you there? Meanwhile, it's needful for us to see how Jesus presents the subject of being born again in the book of John, chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 3, I'd like you to look it up in your own Bible. Jesus says, "Verily, verily," that means most assuredly, without fail, without doubt. You can take this to the bank. You can trust it. I say it on my integrity. I say it on my honor. You don't need to do an additional research to come to the conclusion of the fact that this is as I have said it is. So, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the closest Jesus went to explaining what it meant to be born again. You see, his own approach to unveiling the reality is from the experiential perspective, not from the cerebral perspective. Now, in the body of Christ, we have so much cerebral stuff that is devoid of life, it's devoid of punch, it is devoid of power. And if we are really doing business with God, it goes beyond our minds. It takes us through the receptacle of our hearts into the domain of spirit and life. It's in that context that experience is possible. Jesus says, so the description or the experience of a man that is born again is in this wise. He has ability through the Spirit of God to perceive the realities of God's kingdom. So anyone that is not born again, according to Jesus, will not have what it takes to perceive what is obtainable in the kingdom of God. He will not even know that that realm exists. He will not even know that that layer is in existence. He's cut off from that civilization completely. Can you see that Jesus' description of what it means to be born again is experiential? And this is the first time he speaks on this subject. Oh my, are you with me? Stay with me. We are on a journey. I'm looking for the best words in my vocabulary to explain this matter. You should not leave this service with any gray area on this subject. It's critical. It's critical. Are you there? So someone that is not born again will be speaking from a perspective that is totally devoid. His own perspective of reality is different from the man that has this experience. He's blinded from this possibility. As sincere as he is, he has no inclination whatsoever about this reality. And the proof that the man is born again indeed is that his receptacle is switched on. I'll explain that. The word perceive, are you there? The word see, you can look it up, it's eido in the Greek. Except a man be born again, he cannot eido the kingdom of God. Eido means to perceive by reason of the use of senses. Stay with me. When you were 9 months old in your mother's womb, you had eyes. Is that true? You had a nose. Is that true? But your eyes were not designed for the womb. Your nose was not relevant in the womb. You had to be born first before your eyes became natural, became relevant. So Jesus is saying, when you are born again, the experience of being born again is that your spiritual senses are activated by the Holy Spirit, and then you now have the ability to idle, to perceive. Oh my, oh my. You are not with me, you are not with me. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. You know why I'm doing this so hard? In my country, there were several people on the pulpits that were preaching and saying Jesus, and they were not born again. I know when I get back to Nigeria, it's going to be everywhere on social media that the troubler of Israel has... He went to America again to Kamakuri. I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard. They were not born again. But they were senior ministers. People were traveling from nations of the world to come sit before them. But unfortunately, your ability to perceive the things of the kingdom is tied to whether or not the life of God is on your inside. The proof of life is consciousness. That's why God calls what we call death, he calls it sleep. He's just saying you are no longer conscious of the natural realm. Oh my God, you're not. I don't have time to work this thing. You see, I don't have time to work it out. So when you become born again, the life of God comes into you, and it comes with a consciousness that was not previously there. This consciousness that it comes with is a consciousness of the realm of God, is a consciousness of the layer of God. So that in the natural, you are stepping into a train, but you have a consciousness that links you up to the throne of God. In the natural, you just booked an Uber. Are you there? But there's a consciousness. You are about to step into the Uber, and you, because of that consciousness, you perceive that, hey, this is not the right place to commute. So you give the Uber driver a salutation, and he says you are crazy. No, you are conscious. Please help me tell your neighbor, I'm conscious, I'm conscious. I'm conscious by the power of a different kind of life. I'm conscious by the power of a different spirit. There's a consciousness that I have. And that's my true description. You cannot describe my life outside of this consciousness. It's through this consciousness I judge everything. It is through this consciousness that I sustain my eye view, my outlook towards society, toward my generation, my outlook towards money, my outlook toward my wife. I function by this consciousness. Once upon a time, I had an argument with my wife, and you know, even though I didn't study law, I practice it. I practice law, and what I mean by that is you can't win me in an argument. So I had won the argument, and she had accepted that my view was. Then I was walking away, and then the consciousness, I was arrested by the consciousness, and the impression that came on me through that consciousness required that I apologize. That's when I saw how deep in the flesh I was. The ability to apologize was not in me. It took me 2 days. You will never know how carnal you are until you begin to receive frequencies from the consciousness. Meanwhile, I did not succeed in saying sorry the way you are. I said it in a certain way. But I tried. And when God looked upon me, he looked upon that effort and he concluded that, okay, it's okay, it's okay. But I left, my take home was that that consciousness revealed how carnal. Your rating, your ranking will be so high, you might be caught up with spiritual pride until that consciousness demands something from you. As simple as, can you stand before me for 3 nights, for 2 hours, so that we can have a discussion? And then you now come and say, oh, here am I! And then you realize that you are caught up by sleep. Then you try, you only for you to realize that it is not in you, there's no capacity in you whatsoever to fulfill that requirement. The reason why you saw your depravity and you saw that you had infirmity was because of the requirement that came through that consciousness. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what I want to say now, please forgive me first before I say it, and I don't want to say it, I'm not saying it boastfully, God is my witness. Once upon a time, Jesus gave me the authority to begin to speak to the body of Christ in my nation. Because most of what we're doing in the name of church was off. And the way he asked me to do it is to do simple Bible study on critical subjects that will open the eyes of the brethren to the way of God. When I started that, using the authority of scriptures as my navigation, not trying to say anything but just allowing the scriptures to speak, I made so many enemies. I need to tell you the whole story. I made more friends than enemies anyway, because I found out that everyone that was seeking God sincerely fell in love with me. Are you following? And then some other guys felt I was a threat, that I, in fact, the only thing I'm good for is debt, is a quick debt. The issue I'm telling you is an issue of consciousness. Light cannot fight light. No, can't. So when we really get into knowing who is of the Lord and who is not, the first probe is that consciousness. Does he have it? I don't have time to take you to the book of John. John, among the disciples, is the one that has the anointing, the prophetic dimensions in his apostolic makeup. He made some strange statements that if I bring out here, you'll not even believe it's in the Bible. So the first question I need to ask you is, how is that consciousness in your heart? Because the Bible makes us to understand, Apostle Paul made us to understand, that it is possible to kill that consciousness. One of the means by which we can measure spiritual health is the intensity of that consciousness. And if that consciousness is intense on your life, it means you are in league with the shepherd of the flock. The divine shepherding through the administration of the grace of God is ongoing in your life. Should I tell you something? The Holy Ghost happens to be very sensitive. So when he shows up, have you seen a snail before? Looks around to see if the environment can sustain a disclosure. Then he comes out. Say hi. That's how a snail is. The Holy Ghost is more sensitive than a snail. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to manipulate you. He doesn't want to make you do anything you don't want to do. Gentleman. So he comes and says, I'd like you to pray for 2 hours. And he will say it faintly. Jane, 2 hours. Even though it's faint, it will be loud enough for you to hear. Your sinews, your bones, your chromosomes will hear it. Oh my God. He comes and says, Jane, 2 hours. You hear it. And then the moment you hear it, the flesh is going to fight it. Your flesh comes with an analysis. You've been walking 6 hours. This day you commuted for 1 hour, 20 minutes. You were in the gridlock, the holdup. There was an accident, so you took more time. What you need is a plate of yogurt with strawberries and Netflix. Hallelujah. But he will ensure that every fiber of your being hears what he said. It will come like a thought, and for most of you, you will say, something said, but at least you heard what he said. And then if you're a smart guy, and you perceive what he's saying, you are not sure if it's him, but you know, Satan cannot ask me to pray, so Satan cannot ask me to give. Satan cannot ask me to evangelize, to speak to somebody about Jesus. I like this consciousness. So you now decide to respond. 2 hours, and you stood there. And while you were doing that, you now felt the consciousness say, can we do it again tomorrow? Okay. Then you yielded. If you continue that way for 8 months, you will become exceedingly powerful. Because the secret to power is recognizing the authority of the Holy Spirit and submitting to his government. As long as you refuse to submit to the directive that is coming through that consciousness portal that has been secured in your heart, you will be operating by the resources of the flesh. As long as you refuse to recognize that authority. And if you recognize that authority and you begin to function under the influence of that government, a time will come when people will say, you are weird. You're a weird guy. You're not the reigning kind of guy. You're weird, you. Because the more you begin to conform to the image of Christ, the more the world will begin to feel that you are a strange kind of species. Because the operating system that drives your life is no longer flesh, but Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, the first thing he wants to make you understand is that you don't know how to live. You don't know how to live. So he comes to teach you how to live. And he will never force you. So I pray you will not win the argument with the Holy Ghost. I pray you will not win. That you'll be so foolish enough to yield to his little promptings on the inside. And if you keep yielding, you become his man. He'll be able to trust you with dimensions of his reality. He'll be able to trust you with dimensions of his operation. You will know great and mighty things that you did not know in the physics class, in the anatomy class, in the physiology class. There is a vast island of spiritual knowledge he wants to bring you into. He will not consider you a student that is worthy of educating if you decide not to yield to the promptings of that consciousness. Are you still with me? I'm going to take you for another 25 minutes on this teaching, even though it will take 2 hours for us to finish it, but we'll do an additional 25 minutes so that we can have an opportunity to do the practical aspect of the lecture. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word. Yeah, it's the utensil that can be used to illustrate kingdom things is the utensil of power. Words are weak to illustrate kingdom things. Are you still with me? Oh, you're not with me. Okay. Since you're... You know, I normally protest. When I notice that the congregation is not... I protest by cutting off the syllabus. Maybe you need to go to the wilderness for 5 years before you get ready. Hallelujah. Consciousness. The preacher comes and says, stop fornication. Someone will break down with repentance and say, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. Another person will become offended. Hey, who is he to tell us what to do? Are you with me? Now, you see, these different reactions is coming from different sources. When you said, do not fornicate, there is somebody that is trying to retain the consciousness. Then that message hits the heart and the person begins to repent. And then the Lord says, okay, I'll work with you. So he retains the consciousness. The other one has become hardened. So the Holy Spirit has withdrawn the consciousness because the heart is reprobate. So now he's offended at the things of the kingdom of God. May you never find yourself there. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I know most of you are living in big cities, in New York, in Minneapolis and Columbus, Ohio. You never had the pleasure of sitting by the riverside and watch fish in the river. You've never seen that because you are all kinds of computers and data processing systems. That's what you do. So you never have an opportunity to just walk by the beach and speak in tongues. Are you there? Now, if you have ever been in a riverine area like, you know, my village, you know, and you see fish is swimming close to the shore, doesn't know the waves are coming, and then the waves now come and push the fish to land and recede, so the fish is outside of its habitat. If that fish is a real fish, a proper fish, the fish would be jumping, trying to hook up with its habitat. That's what he should be doing. Are you there? But if you find that fish with sunglasses under an umbrella saying glory, just know the Antichrist is in town. It's a bad day. Okay. Are you with me? If by any means someone that has that consciousness mistakenly falls into sin, you will find the person sorrowing and trying to connect back. But if you find someone in sin with a microphone and with dark specs and saying, oh my God, just know that he's a wicked man that has lost their consciousness. He's lost their consciousness. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, you got it to that point. So that's Jesus' experiential explanation of what it means to be born again. So I need to ask you again, and this time don't hear my voice, hear his voice through my lips. Is that consciousness still alive in you? No, you're not following me. Now listen. Our faith in Christianity is not faith in a philosophy, faith in an idea, faith in a thing. It's faith in a person. And the name of that person is Jesus Christ. Are you there? The moment you give your life to Christ, Jesus Christ dwells in you through His Spirit. It is Him you are dealing with when you deal with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is an infrastructure that is put in place to make Jesus' administration real to you. Are you there? Are you with me? So, it is actually Jesus through His Spirit that is telling you, stand with me by 2 a.m., by 4 a.m. It's Jesus. And the only way you can become is that you need to follow Him. He's the one that knows the way. He knows where He wants to take you to. And then He always comes to beckon on you to follow Him. Because the guys that get made are those that follow Him, and He makes them on the course of their following. He's still there. So if we want to explain pistis, which is faith, the Greek word for faith, the New Testament, pistis is not just a one-time believing venture. Oh, I'm already out of sync. It's not just a one-time believing venture. It's a process. It's a present at any time you stop believing, you start becoming hardened. It means you begin to lose the conscience. People say they gave their life to Christ in the 80s during the revival, and they are not aware that for 12 years they lost the consciousness because they stopped following. And the only way we can become is when we continue to what? That's why we are called believers. Because our plug to the life source continues to be in our possession as long as we believe enough to follow Him. Second question I have for you. Have you been following Him? First is, have you lost the consciousness? This service is for restoration. Some of us have lost the consciousness. All you are is just a medical doctor. All you are is just an engineer. All you are is just an IT expert. All you are is just a security personnel. That's not all you are. All Nicodemus was that he was a ruler of the Jews, he was a Pharisee. Jesus is saying, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you don't see the kingdom of God, you will not know the man that God has ordained you to be, and you'll never become it. You can be the greatest in the eyes of the world, but you have no place in my kingdom. That's not all you are. You'll find out all you are as long as you keep following. When He gives you very, you might call it very stupid instructions, they may not make sense, but you know what? Our making is in following, following. Many of you are 8 years old in the Lord, but you've not gone 1 mile with Jesus. And so you are still a babe. So Jesus cannot communicate with you. Now, this is too loud. Hi. See, now I lost the consciousness of the angels here. No, don't laugh, because I will lose it more. Ah. See, somebody has driven my light away. Ah. So I can't minister again. I can't do the practical session. Somebody drove my light away. When you lose your consciousness, you are done. He's so sensitive. When you lose it, just you mess up. And if you are a preacher, you must understand that The congregation can make you lose your consciousness. I didn't say stop. Oh my. It's still too loud. Still too loud. You will know when to begin to increase it. It's about consciousness. If you lose it, you are nothing. If you lose it, you can do nothing. If you lose it, you know nothing. How much of redemption can the physics you studied bring to you? When you are depressed, what formula will you apply? Is it the escape velocity formula or the Schrodinger equation? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I began to follow him. And the places he led me to are places I would not have gone on my own. They were not good places. You only appear where you are celebrated. In fact, the motivational preacher say, go where you are celebrated. Those are speeches that came out of the mouth of Satan. Because Jesus will hold your hand and lead you to places you don't want to go. You are still doing go where you are celebrated. Those were people that were raised to ensure that you walk in darkness perpetually. The whispers of Satan are not necessarily bad. They are just devoid of God. No light in them. It says, to the world and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light. It doesn't need to be bad, but it lacks light. That light that only the Spirit of God can give the human heart. Are you there? Right. As I try to round up, I need to show you your receptacle. You have a spiritual organ that the Holy Spirit comes to enlighten so that you can have idol. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Give me that scripture on the screen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Yes, you can raise it now. I just got a sign. You can raise this. Yeah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. It says, but ye have an unction. He didn't say you are about to have an unction. He said, this is your reality. You do what? You have an unction. You don't need to know the meaning of the unction. You don't need to know the meaning. But it's better for you to know what the unction does. Meanwhile, I'm not going to define the unction today. But let me show you what the unction does. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The unction is a knowledge, is a spiritual knowledge faculty. It's an instrument through which we can access the knowledge of things that you cannot be taught and the knowledge of things that you cannot learn. Unction. Are you there? And this knowledge faculty is given to every believer. It is through this faculty that consciousness operates. And as far as you have this unction, it means you have access to all spiritual knowledge. Everything that God wants to tell you that will equip you for your unique destiny is accessible through what? Unction. Are you with me? He didn't say you are about to have an unction. He says, ye have an unction. He didn't say you used to have an unction. He says what? Ye have an unction. And ye know all things. Why? Next verse. 21. Can you give me 21? Are you sure? Just give me a moment. Let me access my own Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know the truth, and that no lie is in the truth. So there are things that God will tell you because you have begun to know spiritual things. Are you there? You qualify to be admitted into deeper spiritual training when you have already identified the workings of that unction within you. So anyone that cannot identify the workings of that unction doesn't know the voice of the truth. And if he doesn't know the voice of the truth, he cannot walk with Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. Part of the reason why God wants you to master the Bible is so that when you know the voice of the Bible, you will now be able to know the voice of God. Are you there? Oh, you are not with me. If you know the voice of the Bible and someone comes and is saying something that is not in the Bible, your entire system will have an alarm. An alarm will blow out. These are security systems that God builds into the heart of the believer, so the believer will be able to escape deceit, escape deception, because there's so much, there's a deceiving spirit that is out there seeking to gain mastery of you so that you'll be perpetually a slave under its hand. So he said, ye have an unction. I've built a knowledge faculty into my operations in your heart. And through this unction, you can know all things. You there? All right, so let me show you some channels in this unction. Can we do that? With the 34 minutes left, so I will do that in 14 minutes. First channel of the unction is what we call the knowing of revelation. The knowing of revelation. John chapter 13 from verse number 1. The knowing of revelation. Are you there with me in John 13? All right. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, underline knew, that the hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing, can you understand, underline, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and Jesus, knowing that he was come from God, and Jesus, knowing that he went to God, he knew that his hour had come. This is a kind of knowledge that you cannot be taught. This is a kind of knowledge that you cannot learn. This kind of knowledge is handed down to you by the Holy Spirit himself. He knew that his hour had come that he should depart out of his world. He knew that all things were given into his hands. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that he was going back to God. Somebody say, no, you're speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not speaking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm speaking about your spiritual senses. This doesn't function because you have a gift. It functions because you have the Spirit. He knew. What do you know? If you know nothing, you've not been walking with Jesus. Because Paul says, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him as against that day. These are people doing business with God so that God can take care of their eternity. Do you understand? In that day where he will be powerless, because he had known God, he can commit his soul into his hand. Oh my. In that day where he will be helpless, because he had known God, he can commit his spirit into his hand. When you hear Jesus says, into thine hands I commit my spirit, that is the greatest task you will give God. And you will not be able to give him that task if you don't know him. He knew that his hour had come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. He knew that he was come from God. He knew that he was going to God. He knew that God had given all things into his hand. That's first channel of the workings of the unction. Did you get that? Number two. The second channel is what we call the sight of affection. The sight of affection. If we were really doing the school of prophets, I will take you deeper on these matters. But I'm trying to lay a foundation. And I know you'll be blessed. In the book of John chapter 5, we see the secret of Jesus. This was the secret of his life. In John chapter 5, verse 20 and verse 21. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. You see, this showing is a showing that is born out of love. We call it the sight of affection. When you begin your journey of intimacy with God, you begin to see there are many ways God will show that he loves you. And one of such ways is that he shows you things. Visions is a language of love from a spirit being. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you. The reason why you are calling is because you want answers. The reason why I ask you to call is not because of answers, even though he will give you your answers. So he said, call unto me, I will answer you. The reason why I wanted you to call is because I want to show you stuff. You are not asking to be shown things. You are calling because you want answers. I'll give you your answers. But in addition to your answers, I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest. It's the language of love. I don't have any permission to tell you the things I've seen. Woo! No permission. I tried that before, to say things that he showed me without permission. You don't want to be there. I will show you. What have you seen? I will show you. What did he show you? What did you see? I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest. Oh. Let me leave it there. Meanwhile, I can't leave it there. No, my best scripture is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, beginning from verse 24. I can't leave it there. We must pass through my scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. Then I'm going to stop here. You study the rest too. There are two others, but you study that. Stop here, because I have 2 minutes to the practicals. In Hebrews chapter, are you there in Hebrews?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he came to Yaz, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invincible. That's the key. The key is, why did he endure? He endured because he saw something. When you find a believer in a contrary situation and he lacks the ability to stand, he's seen nothing. You see someone in a situation that is so bad and he has a capacity beyond his humanity to endure. It's a sign that he has seen the invincible. Believers are cheap these days. Put them on little pressure, they say, ah! They scream. Because they have no root in themselves. No root. Christianity is cheap. It's no longer deep. Where is your depth? We can't endure anything. A little stress here and where, we throw in the towel and say, no, it's fake. No, it's fake to you, not to me. I will die with what I have. Put me on the stake, I will be speaking in tongues and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I will die that way. That's dying in style, dying as a witness. That's a strong way to live here. He endured. There's a depth to which you go, you are not afraid of death. It consumes you. The zeal of the Lord overtakes your entire temple. The Bible says he endured because he saw him who was what? Oh my God, what have you seen? Have you seen anything? What have you seen? Yeah, so it's time for practice. Now, which one is left? The hearing of faith. So we have two left. We have the taste of discernment and the hearing of faith. We can do those two because of time. How many of you still remember Peter when he was going to pray on the housetop? And they were trying to make food for him. The reason why he was praying was, it was a tactic to wait for food. He wanted food. He was hungry. He would have eaten, but there was no food. So it's okay. While you are cooking, let me just while away time speaking in tongues. He didn't want to pray, but that was his way of waiting for food. He went upstairs, and he just began to pray. And he saw a vision. There was a sheet that was lowered out of heaven. And when he saw that sheet, he heard a voice say, kill and eat. The voice he heard was not in line with his philosophy. The voice he heard was not in line with his religion. The voice he heard was not in line with his custom. He revolted against the voice and said, not so, Lord. That was when I discovered that the guy knew it was the Lord. Oh, you're not with me. You're not with me. You're with me. The guy knew it was the Lord, and suddenly Peter began to counsel the Lord. I said, not so, Lord. But he did not understand that what happened was that there was a meeting that was held in heaven. And that meeting was about the Gentiles. And they had concluded in heaven, it's time for us to open the gate of the kingdom to the Gentiles. And people began to suggest. Cherubims began to suggest. People in heaven began to suggest. And everybody suggested Peter to be the emissary of heaven that would take the gospel to the Gentiles. And then they were looking for him, waiting for him to pray. He wanted to eat, to be in the dining room. He wanted to labor with the chef in the. But he said, okay, let me just go up. He was trapped with a vision of glory. And then he said, not so, Lord. That singular statement, not so, Lord, was the reason why heaven chose Paul. My question to you today is, how many times have you said not so? You see, someone's phone has taken the presence I gathered for 1 hour away. So that's the reason why I will not do the practicals anymore. We'll just continue the teaching. Stay with me. You drive the angels away. Oh, you don't know this consciousness. You don't know how many hours you need to incubate in prayer so that you can hear the voice coming from the Holy Ghost loud in your spirit. That's why they chose Paul. He knew it was the Lord. That is what we call the hearing of faith. He knew it was the Lord. Suddenly he began to counsel the Lord. Not so. Not so. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. The meeting reconvened. And at that point, Paul was a zealot. He was the one that supervised the death of Stephen. Stephen was a youngster that was coming up with faith, coming up with so much wisdom. And Paul went to supervise his death. Paul did not know that when you kill one, the anointing will jump on another one. So when he went to supervise his death, that was when they marked him. And you can imagine how he was the captain, the emissary of the first militia that was set up by the Jewish ruling council to make Jews comply to Judaism. First militia. He was the captain of that horde. And you can imagine him on horseback, how he was moving. His first port of call was international. He was going to Assyria. Oh my God, he was moving with majesty. And from that place, he met the Lord. What gave him the capacity were the letters that he got from Jerusalem. That was the authority that was behind his movement. And that connection secured him visas internationally. And he was a big guy going to bring into captivity everyone that he saw that was a Jew in any nation whatsoever that was not practicing Judaism, to bring them bound to Jerusalem. It was on that trip that he encountered the Lord. And when he encountered the Lord, are you there? I was expecting him to say, I got letters from Jerusalem. He didn't say that. What he said is, who art thou, Lord? The other one said, not so, Lord. This one said, who art thou, Lord? I don't know you. Thank God he called him Lord, because the way Jesus appeared, I can imagine he appeared with a machete. That's my own. He was in custody of something, an instrument. I said, who are you, Lord? That was how his devotion shifted from the letters to the Lord. The other one said, not so, or the hearing of it. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. lays me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, his goodness and his mercies shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of God forever. As I shut down this morning, can you agree with him? Don't be like Peter. Can you agree with his frequency resonating from the inside of your spirit, man? Can you agree with the prompting of his grace building from your inside, trying to secure your attention and to bend your hand and your knees in the place of prayer? Can you agree with him? Can you agree with the still small voice that is in the chamber of your being quickening you and say, this is the way, walk therein? Can you agree with that? Can you repent for every time you heard that still small voice and you chose something else above him? Can you repent for that? Somebody pray to him right now. Pray to him now. Somebody pray now. I choose to dwell in that consciousness, to walk by the dictates of that consciousness, to bask in the reality of that consciousness. I acknowledge that I'm insufficient. For the Bible says that the Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. Help my infirmities, for I am weak in myself. I'm insufficient in myself. I want to depend on that consciousness, on the voice of your Spirit. In the privacy of my heart, I want to be quickened by the Holy Ghost to do his will. I Lord, help me, help me, help me. Someone needs to cry. Many have betrayed him. Many have denied his movements within their vessel. Many have trivialized his voice. Many said, not so, Lord. Not so. Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. He put a call upon your life. You said, not so, Lord. He called you to be an intercessor. You said, not so, Lord. He called you to be an evangelist. You said, not so, Lord. I'm in the IT world. Not so, Lord. I am willing. I am ready. There is a consciousness on my inside. For we have an unction from the Holy One. And we know all things.
My daddy, sin
you. Little beside the woman, as a Nile home, Silamenda eco presco falamone. Zalia maila kosenali, zigonendele sanika mo. Seniemo, zalaino membros keso sila manadele. Megalaina mone, negalaina mone namo. Sina nombresko felama. Aila bose na malanga bolama, embila nando sele kenani labo, egalai labo semina, emina lakela mo sani lane, Sovenani to malande bamalahala. Gemina laika bamole. Gemina lisko brema nazala bona. Seminale. Sile broske sosana moga babenale. Gemina laika mamone senansila mambala. Ekama sante sonore. Seminale. Broske sasane na lambola bana. Geminale kasobelene seisko salabo. Ekama dale. Oh. Oh. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. For the Lord will strengthen you with might by his spirit in the inner man. A little one will become a thousand, and a small one will become a strong nation. Arise. Arise. And have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Give ye, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, say forth. Everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is never weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Arise, Have mercy upon thy inheritance. Look kindly upon your people. Moses ele ebresco felamando. Higabrescom batesile manda la baboria. Gobramen ansuse la isca brendele. Rumeskito bambe la kobokosi. Brescovi la bandeli. Eliasike bela mo baba maya. Sikabresko fali ma elombre skofondele kus abaita igabresa zila amai kombresko seselete mila abarunde. Make us alive to your Holy Spirit so that we might hear a voice behind us say, this is the way, that we walk no longer in darkness. We repent for ignoring your voice. We repent for turning aside from your promptings. We repent from choosing our own way. In the name of Jesus. And I beheld in the spirit, and I saw seven lamps burning. And I asked, what are these? These are seven men whose heart has ascended into heaven. And the Lord in return comes to put a flame on your life. There are seven such men in this congregation. And from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall, the flames come. The flames, they come. The flames, they come. The flames, they come. The flames, they come. The flames that come, the flames that come, the flames of heaven. The burning lamps of his grace, the fires of the heavenlies that purifies the soul, the flames. For you shall walk and not be weary, says the Lord. You shall run and not faint, says the Spirit. For your journey shall be swift, and you will know what it means for my Spirit to empower you. No longer will you be overwhelmed by the tempest and the tension, for I will quicken my strength within your vessel, and I'll cause you to be able to do all things through my Spirit that strengthens you. Get up now thy loins, take your journey, for I will be with your hand, I will be with your spirit, and you will not be overwhelmed by the storm. I will cause your face to shine, because I will bring your light upon you, and you will arise, and you will speak my words and do my will, says the Spirit of the Lord. You shall no longer be afraid. You shall no longer be burdened, for I will be the secret power sorting from your spirit.
Arise, arise, for your season is upon you. I will cause the sons of strangers to stand and build your walls. For men and women will go out of their ways to be a blessing to you. Oh, rejoice, 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 rejoice. For I will beautify you, says the Spirit of God. This is your time. This is your season. I will not allow you to be put to shame. For they looked unto me, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. I will make your little strength much. I will make your little voice loud. I will make your little prayer powerful, so that my name will be glorified in all the earth. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. For my spirit within you will prevail. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. For I have prevailed, says the Spirit of God.